This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong, and this is the first part in a series all about how leadership is actually a losing game. Now, the first part of the series is going to focus on something very interesting. So when we think about leadership, we tend to make it synonymous with the concept of having a big ego, for example, but the two may not necessarily have a positive relationship. So today, Joseph Tan, who is the consulting director of Good Monday Consulting, will be sharing his thoughts with us on how losing the ego game might actually be beneficial to being a good leader in the long run. So first of all, thank you so much, Joseph, for coming into the studio and sharing these thoughts with us today.
Hi, Christine. Good morning.
Good morning. All right. So first of all, I think it's good to define what ego actually is in your definition of what the ego game is as well. So tell us what ego means to you.
Well, ego in the 19th century Latin word actually means I. You know, it is a sense of your identity. Yeah. So quite interestingly, people talk about having hurt feelings. But to be technical, feelings cannot be hurt. Feelings is just an expression of what is. It is actually your ego that is hurt. So when someone's ego is hurt, so feelings of anger, feelings of frustration, feelings of irritation may arise. And that in the long run is not good for a leader. So when we talk about ego, we're actually talking about what constitutes your identity.
Okay, is that at all similar to, let's say, like your pride or something like that? Or
I think pride would be an expression of an inflated ego. The thing about ego is that it's not that ego is a bad word. It's about having the right perception of ourselves. What is the basis of our identity? If we were to put the basis of our identity in material possessions, in performance, in our feelings, and you know that goes up and down. And when that goes up and down, and if your ego follows along, that makes you into a very volatile person.
Right. So I suppose generally when you have some sort of hurt feelings, it's because someone's kind of challenged your sense of identity. So that means that they've hurt your ego. Is that about right?
Yeah. That means as a leader, we need to be aware of this feeling of anger. Basically, because when our ego is hurt, one of the natural response is that we become angry. But when we become angry as a leader, we need to ask ourselves these two questions. Nothing wrong with anger per se, but we need to ask ourselves this question, like, for example, what am I defending? What is it that I'm trying to prove? So if you kind of take a step back and ask yourself, what is it that I'm defending? Then you will find that sometimes the basis for our ego and identity could be a frail one.
Okay, interesting. And, you know, we tend to talk about leaders in a language that will support this kind of idea of ego. So we tend to call leaders assertive or ego-driven, for example, right? Otherwise, maybe things might not get done. People might not be as productive. People might be taking advantage of what we consider a more easygoing nature that is free from ego, right? But, you know, is that correct? Like, is that the right conception to have of a good leader who with this, like, positive sense of ego?
Well, a leader should rightly be ego-driven, but the deeper question to ask is, what is your ego driven by, right? So let's say if your ego is driven by your sense of your own fluctuating feelings, if your ego is driven by your mood of the day, if your ego is driven by something that is trivial, then what drives your ego becomes something which is negative, becomes something which is not easily received by people that you are driving. So in other words, it is not so much being ego-driven that is the problem. It is what is the basis of your ego. Are you driven by yourself only, or are you driven by something bigger than yourself?
So in order to be a good leader, then what should your ego be driven by?
In order to be a leader that can win in the long run, you need to practice a certain sense of self-forgetfulness. A certain sense of self-forgetfulness. Let me explain. As a leader, you need to be able to lead people by identifying what is the cause, what is the cause behind what you are doing. Many times a leader tends to drive based on cost. You better do this or else this will happen to you. You know, you you better do this or else this consequence would take place. But this sort of leadership is very transactional. It's not transformational. So I would say that what we need to do as a leader to win the relational game in the long run is to make sure that we always present the bigger picture. What is the cause? C-A-U-S-E, rather than the C-O-S-T.
You know, I think that is a really, really good point. I think when people talk about the bigger picture as a leader, a lot of the time, especially in business, they talk about the financial bigger picture. How much money can we make? How quickly can we make it?
Yeah.
You know, what is that money going to go towards?
Yeah.
But they don't tend to think about the kind of, as you said, relational idea of that. You know, what are we doing for the world? What are we doing, you know, as a company to benefit people, for example, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a really interesting point that it can't all be about the numbers and you have to really look at the bigger picture in terms of like how you interact with people and how you interact with the world at large as well. Going on from that, right? People tend to think about ego as something that we can kind of improve upon. And I think there's a conflation when it comes to the idea of ego between ego and self-esteem, right? You know, so are they similar in any way? Like, what is the kind of relationship between what we consider to be ego and what we consider to be self-esteem?
Well, self-esteem, as the word suggests, is that you esteem the world around you based on your own standards. In a way, Christine, you would say that no one would admit that they want to do wrong. Everybody says they're doing what is right. But unfortunately, the person that is full of self-esteem is doing what is right in his own eyes. Meaning, hey, Christine, I'm doing what is right, but it's my rule, my law. For example, you may say that, Joseph, you're late for the meeting. But I said, I'm not late. In my standard, as long as you're within plus minus 15 minutes, you are not late. So in that sense, it is holding myself accountable, but to my own self-directed standards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where else, if you practice self-forgetfulness versus self-esteem, you subject yourself to a higher standard. So I want to be punctual for the meeting because I have the higher standard of showing respect for people who are in the room. I have a higher standard of showing respect to the agenda and to the purpose of the meeting. So if I'm able to lay aside my own selfish standards for a higher standard, that is practicing self-forgetfulness in the right way. It may seem like a losing game, but in the long run, you win.
I mean, I think a lot of people might view that sort of behavior, that sort of mentality as like weak or not kind of emotionally driven or something like that. Because, you know, that's actually one thing that you brought up that I find really interesting because I hate being late to things.
Yeah.
And it's not that I hate being late to things, but my feeling about it is that if I'm late to something, that means I'm not valuing the other person's time.
Yeah.
I'm usually going to something or meeting someone if I'm late to something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm not valuing their time or I'm not valuing, you know, the area might be like occupied or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's my concern more than me being late.
Yeah.
It's more about the fact that I'm not respecting what's going on there
in
that situation.
Yeah,
so that's like an example that you said of like self-forgetfulness where you don't, where, you know, your idea of what is right or what is wrong is not self-driven.
Yeah.
It is driven by the larger picture at hand.
Yeah, yeah. But in your case, Christine, because that message or that standard of wanting to be on time has become so much a part of you, then you have reached a certain point where what is driving you, it's also that standard that is applicable to everyone else too. So in that case, you have reached that steady state in that sense. Yeah.
All right. Interesting. Okay. And, you know, what does this look like in terms of pushing other people? Because as a leader, you have to work with a team and you have to try and get your team to improve and to, you know, continue to do better within your workplace, right? So how does self-forgetfulness help your team at large?
Okay. I think one of the expression of self-forgetfulness is the character quality of humility. A lot of us talk about the need to be humble, but not many people really think about how it looks like. I would say that there are basically a few things that we can do. Number one, we have got to learn to give credit where credit is due. Because if a leader focuses on his or her ego and he is driven in the wrong way, what happens is that then we forget that the success that we have is actually built on the contribution and the input from other people, no matter how small. So learning to give credit where credit is due on a regular basis certainly goes a long way in winning the relational game. And the best type of credit to give is the non-monetary ones, because it requires special thought.
All right. Okay, that's really interesting. Now, we'll be taking a short break. After that, Joseph Tan will continue sharing a little bit more about losing the ego game. So stay tuned to Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium, BFM 89.9.
This is Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong, and today I'm speaking to Joseph Tan, who is the Consulting Director of Good Monday Consulting, all about losing the ego game. This is the first part in a series about how leadership in general is a losing game as well. And earlier, we talked about what ego is, why people think that leaders should have egos, and how ego basically means identity instead of what people think it means. But now, you know, we were just talking before the break about how, a self-forgetful leader, a leader who practices self-forgetfulness in terms of forgetting, you know, in terms of basically setting their self-driven needs aside, mm-hmm. right? We were talking about how that benefits the team at large. And you mentioned humility. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned giving people credit where credit is due.
That's right.
Now, here is my question. How can you differentiate between giving credit where credit is due and boasting about someone? And is there a difference, and should we be worried about that?
Okay, that's a good question. I think giving credit where credit is due, it should be attributed to the performance and the benefits that it brings to the team. But if the way you give credit is very much linked with directing it to a person's personality, if you direct it to a particular person all the time, then that becomes flattery and favoritism. So sometimes there is a fine line between giving credit and giving flattery. So we need to be aware of the contribution of others. That's why the other way that we can express humility is to be open to feedback. Many times leaders are not willing to lose the ego game because they are not willing to hear the hard facts. They are not willing to receiving the pushback. But your ability to receive the pushback would be able to demonstrate how much of an ego-driven person that you are, in the wrong sense of the word, yeah.
You know, I think that's a really great point. And I would like to kind of point out, you know, how many bosses or leaders, especially in Malaysia, in the corporate world, will ask, you know, the people in their team for feedback, ask them for constructive criticism.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, very few,
that's
I would
right,
imagine.
That's right.
So that's actually a really interesting point, that you have to be open to feedback and not just say that you are, right? You can't have like a comment box, but you don't read any of the comments,
that's right, for example. Yeah.
You actually do have to take on what your team is needing from you and respond to that, you know, in order to, in order to address, to improve, you know, not only yourself, but the team at large as well. And you also talk about humility. Now, I think we have this idea of being humble as a sort of almost like self-deprecation in a way, if taken to the extreme. You know what I mean? So instead of kind of celebrating your achievement, your team's achievement, you kind of like downplay everything, you know, but that's not what you mean when you say being humble, is it?
Well, it is not to downplay, it's rather to right play. I mean, C.S. Lewis once mentioned, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. So by all means, if the team has done a wonderful work, celebrate together, you know. So we should right play the achievement rather than downplay or even upplay. Yeah, so that is very needful, because people do need recognition as part of their motivation to achieve more.
I think, you know, as well, some of these points that you're bringing up, it tends to be, connected to, I think, a sort of idea of this like startup mentality, because, you know, a lot of startups nowadays as well have a lot of bonuses or perks that are not monetary in nature.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you'll have like a maybe some sort of like get together every week or something like that, or you'll have, let's say, you go like hiking together or you go to dinner together or whatever. And a lot of people, I think, in the corporate world who have been working in the corporate world for a long time see that as a very like, oh, look at these youngins. Look at, you know, all the wrong priorities that they're doing. They're not worrying about making money. They're worrying about like, oh, we have to get together and hang out. Right? But what you're saying is that basically that sort of, you know, get together, that sort of celebrating these achievements in this way that is not monetary, but perhaps more social or perhaps more, I don't know, more emotionally based, you know, will actually benefit leaders and their teams and their companies in the long run rather than just focusing on like bonuses and stuff like that.
I mean, the acid test, Christine, is this. A leader who is not driven by his personal ego is able to express his leadership in a non-monetary perspective. If the only thing you have to motivate your people is the carrot and the stick, the compensation and the salary, then you are not giving a bigger cause to your team to perform at a higher level. So that's one of the yardstick we can use to measure ourselves. Are we always just using monetary or physical things to motivate our people?
Okay, interesting. And, you know, how would you say that? I don't know how you feel about this exactly, but in a lot of companies in Malaysia, there's a very strict hierarchy, and that tends to lead towards this idea where, you know, oh, like if your boss is in this position, you know, they're like a leader and you can't talk back to them and you can't give them feedback and you can't like have a conversation with them, right? How much do you think that would affect this kind of ego game?
Oh, I think that would affect it very much, because that power distance index in that sense, I would say it's pretty high in Malaysia or even in the Asian context. So there are two ways that we can go around doing it. I think the first is the more obvious one. Reconsider the physical layout of the office, because unfortunately, the way you arrange the office, you know, the way you put the furniture, where you sit in relation to your team, do convey a certain ego persona in that sense. So if you have a huge office and people need to get through three layers of secretaries before they can see you, you are inevitably creating that culture and environment unknowingly, you know. And I think secondly, it's I think this was made popular by Hewlett-Packard. It's called management by wandering around. That means every now and then you should be with your troops. Go to where they are. Talk to them about non-work related matters, and then after that, listen. You know, listen not only with your ears but listen with your eyes. Just that very act of listening and connecting with people where they are, rather than always waiting for them to make a formal appointment with you, really helps to convey the picture that you want to win the relational game and not the ego one.
Yeah, you know, I think that sort of mentality of talking to the people that you work with, God forbid, right? But, you know, I really think that does help. And I think that, you know, the better a kind of social relationship, obviously there are some boundaries that you might have as a boss or you might have as a worker or something like that, as a colleague that you don't want to cross, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
But occasionally asking someone about their day isn't going to backfire, necessarily.
No, not at all.
And to have that conversation and to have that connection with someone on a personal level, I think would help, you know, you guys work together and would help them see what you might want, you know, not only as a company, but as a person. And also it humanizes you, you know?
Exactly.
And I think what's the point of trying to be a leader when you can only lead from afar? Like, it doesn't really work like that.
Yeah,
right. So I think, you know, having that little conversation and wandering around and actually talking to people occasionally about non-work related stuff can be very, very helpful in the long run as well. Mm-hmm. So finally, before we wrap up, you know, I just kind of wanted to ask, could you perhaps give some examples of, you know, what an ego-driven leader might do as opposed to like what a humble leader might do? You know, could we get like a sort of examples of how they might approach the same situation, let's say?
All right. I think I would give you an idea of what a humble leader would look like. There is one CEO that I know that although he has a chauffeur, someone who drives him around, but he says he makes it a practice never to take the back seat. He would sit right next to the driver and he would have a conversation with the driver. saying that, you know, as far as a human being is concerned, he's on equal footing with me and I should give respect where respect is due. So I would say that a humble leader, though he has a higher position, but he recognizes the worth of the individual, meaning that you must see your employees first as an individual. If you can individualize your approach, then I think you're a humble leader. And this same CEO actually goes down to the customer service branch and serve the customers every now and then. So he knows what's happening on the ground because he is there on the ground. And I think in Malay, we call it turun padang. right? And I think conversely, if you talk about someone who is not humble, someone who is ego-driven, it has that mentality, you come to me. Right? You make the first move. You take the effort to reach out to me. So it is that mountain mentality. You come to the mountain rather than I come to you. So in other words, you become non-approachable. A leader that is not ego-driven is an approachable leader. Ask yourself today, am I an approachable person? And if you have a high resounding no, I think your ego is in the way.
All right. That's a great note to end on. And that's great because that's actually all the time that we have. Thank you so much, Joseph, for coming in and speaking to us today on Raise Your Game, all about losing the ego game. Again, this is the first part in a series about the leadership game being a losing one anyway. If you have missed any of this interview, go ahead and download the podcast from our app. That's on the Apple App Store and Google Play. You can also head over to our website, bfm.my/podcasts, to listen to the podcast again as well and download it there. For now, stay tuned to Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.